Care for inviting me to talk to you guys. It reminds me, looking at Berkeley grads and college grads and stuff, reminds me of when I was a student in college and practicing in the concrete root piano rooms. I used to love to do that, but then thinking about what the heck I would do in the real world. And I know a lot of you have been out in the real world, but some of you probably are just kind of getting into it. But I thought that I would try to think of some things that you guys might be interested in that I know. First of all, I've been singing professionally for, I think it's 43 years now. So I've done jingle work in Memphis, and then most of my career has been here. And what I've done is what Eric is doing, which is I've discovered the theory of the multiple streams of income. And I wanted to talk about vocal careers specifically. The vocal careers that you have possible here are that of an artist, that of a live singer for bands and stuff, and then as a session singer. Session singers include jingle singing, which we were just talking about. There's not as much jingle singing, but there is some still, and then background vocals. It also encompasses demo singing, lead singing for songwriters, and voiceover work, which is always going to be available and necessary. So anyway, let's talk about the characteristics that you're going to need in each of these fields. So as a recording artist, you're obviously going to need vocal ability because the mark is up. And even with the pitch fixing and rhythm fixing and all kinds of fixing software and hardware they have in the studio now, your vocal needs to be as good as it can possibly be, because then it's going to sound more natural and it's going to be more emotionally compelling. And you really need to have your voice as good as it can possibly be. And within your genre, it doesn't have to sound like a, you know, opera trained by an opera singer, but it needs to be the top of your game for the style that you want to sing. You also need a unique artistic definition. That's very important, because it's not good enough either to be just another great singer in a universe of, you know, building great singers. You really need to be unique and find your own definition as an artist. What goes into that is your uniqueness, your vocal uniqueness, which means you need to explore your whole voice, your life experiences that you're going to put into your art, the sound and your the sound of your artistic definition is going to have to do with the sound of your voice and with your choice of instrumentation, and your message. What kind of messages do you want to give? Of course, you're going to give many messages, but you really need to define yourself. Who are you as a voice, and why? What do you have to give me that could help make my world better, or help me understand something, or make me feel better? It's party songs or whatever. You know, what are your messages going to be? And they need to be true to you. Style and genre, that has to do with, yeah, what's commercially going, but also what your voice works best with, what is the most natural for your voice to work best with, and what your heart loves. Your heart really needs to love it too, but your heart can love something and you not be able to sing it. So artistic definition takes exploration. And for those of you wanting a career as a recording artist, I would just say, don't shortcut the experimentation. Your look is important, and you want to have some kind of consistent thing that, whether it's a scarf or whatever, but that the visual people and the labels and there are people that you can talk to about consulting about your look, but that is important. Your material, of course, you need to write. This is common sense, but you need to write your material, or you need to go get it. And you need to get the best songs that you can possibly get, no matter who wrote them. So you might need to look at publishing companies and songwriters. And really good songwriters these days can sometimes give new artists material, because a lot of times new artists are ending up being big artists, so they're more willing than they used to be to give out their best material. Or some material maybe that's been on the back burner and their publishing companies are no longer pushing. So, and the other thing that you need to do is network, off and online. These days, I know artists that are much better singers and really have the artistic definition, the whole thing, but they are just in their own little envelope, their own little world, and they don't have many Facebook friends, and they don't have a visibility on the web, and they're not getting very, you know, I mean, some of the first things that a label's going to ask for or look for is how many Facebook friends you have, or how many, you know, social networking friends. Where is your online audience, and do you have one? And then I know some lesser, as far as quality of the voice, I know lesser singers who have really gone pretty far because they have gained that audience following. And so that's what the powers that be look at. Because the bottom line is, the more fans you've got, the more your stuff's going to sell. So all that goes into, and the other thing is, you need to understand marketing and promotion. These days, you can't just, you know, play your guitar, go into the office of Universal or somewhere and get a record deal. You really need to, you know, in fact, the adage now is, you don't get a record deal until you don't need one. So, you know, you got to do your due diligence and do your own promotion and marketing. You got to learn all that stuff. And you need live venue experience, which is, of course, a catch-22, because you need to have some kind of promotion going and so that the live venue people will want to book you. But you also need the ability to get, if you are a really good live venue singer, you need the ability to get that in the studio, that live performance magic in the studio. And there are ways to do that. A lot of times you go into the studio if you're a live singer and you freeze. Well, there's lots of physical and psychological tricks that I know that can help you. So if you want to ask me about that, lady, feel free. Okay, live venue, background singers. You need to have background vocal ability, which means you need to have the ability to trace and completely blend and go with the nuances of the singer that you are looking to back. You've got to, so that takes some vocal ability. You've got to be able to change your sound as the artist wishes, but, you know, be pretty chameleon about it. I got to, of course, have the ability to sing harmony parts and hear them. You've got to have a specific look, whatever that look the artist is looking for, you know. You need to network and find out who is gigging, who is needing background vocalists or, you know, subs or something like that. So that's, you need to network with musicians, because a lot of times road people know who's, you know, what do you call it? auditions are being held. And you need to, of course, be willing to commit to the rigors and the schedule of the road show. Now, and I will tell you, there's a bit of a catch-22 about being a background singer on the road and a background singer in recording sessions. If you get in the loop of the recording sessions and you go out of town on a background singing gig, you get out of the loop. And one of my very best friends has been singing backgrounds for Dolly. Well, every time she gets off the road, because she's a veteran session singer, every time she gets off the road, she has to re-network with everybody and try to fit in again. So just know that. You need to weigh that. The background singing gig on the road needs to pay enough, and you need to save enough of that per diem that when you come back from the road, you can have something to live on while you're retrying to get back in the studio. So session singing, we'll go to session singing now, and that, again, is background vocals, jingles, songwriting, demo leads, and voiceover talent. And for that, and I'm going to be redundant here a little bit, but you need great vocal technique. you need, usually you need some vocal training. When I first moved to Nashville, all of the top session singers were going to the same vocal coach, and all of our lessons were like at 8:30 in the morning. So can I tell you, I was late a lot. But we warmed up, and so because our session started at 10, and we Gerald Arthur was this guy's name. But you really need to have surgical control of your voice for pitch and sound and blend and nuances and cutoffs and all that, because time is money in the studio and the money is your client. You need the ability to blend, like I say, extreme control of pitch especially. You need to, of course, hear harmony parts quickly. You need to have the ability to read manuscript. And yes, they do read manuscript in Nashville, and a lot of them in the Christian contemporary field and some other places. But you need to be able to do that. But you also need to be able to learn the Nashville number system. How many people out there know the Nashville number system? Okay, good, cool. Well, the rest of you, if you are interested in doing either work as a musician or a singer, you owe it to yourself to learn the number system. It's really quite easy. It makes sense. I came up with it myself in Memphis before I moved to Nashville, doing backgrounds in sessions there. And I used the Roman numerals that you learn in theory. Okay, I was putting Roman numerals on my stuff. And then when I moved to Nashville and I heard about the scary number system, I realized I already invented it. And I did not invent the internet. But no, it really is logical. It's very logical. It's very smart. And the coolest thing about the number system is that you can take the same chart, and if it needs to change keys, no problem. Just, you know, I quite personally put the little transpose button on my keyboard out there. I don't like to play in B. You also need experience in Catch 22. So sing free, you know, sing wherever you can, as much as you can at the studio mic, because there's nothing like the studio experience. You need a demo of your work. We used to call it, and I guess they still do, jingle reels or background singing reels. Of course, that refers to that little quarter-inch tape, but we're talking about CDs now. So, but I think it's still called a reel. And you need to be easy. You need to have a good personality and easy to work with people, because in this town, as in every other center of music center, whether it's LA or New York or whatever, it's a network of friends, and friends hire friends. And also, it's a network, and the reason they do that is not just out of friendship, but it is, you will make them look bad if you are late, or if you're cranky, or if you are difficult in any way, or if you try to take control of the session when the leader is someone else at the time. You know, sometimes you're the leader, sometimes you're not. And you need to kind of scope that out. So these subtleties of working within a group, you need to be able to do that. And be dependable. Because again, time is money. You need to be consistent. And you need to be reachable. So whether it's email, phone, whatever, you need to be, make it easy for people to reach you. And look at your, you know, now we got to deal with like texts and everything. I just had to deal with a, you know, little codaphone, I think we called them back then, when I first came to Nashville. But check them all and recheck them and check them frequently. You need networking skills, and you need to network with other session singers, producers, publishers, and songwriters. And because it is political, and you need to know how to do this, and you need to know where to go to network and stuff like that. I highly recommend Eric's book. I mean, even if I didn't know him and like him so much, that's just a fantastic, I couldn't believe it. That I wish I had that when I first came to Nashville. So, because that is just amazing. Another thing I wanted to touch on is the importance of vocal training or knowing how to sing for musicians. Just quickly, for two reasons. One, you can improve your chances of getting a road gig if you sing. Eric knows that. And my husband, back in the day, he did the road as well as sessions as a drummer. And Ray Stevens wanted him to sing, and he just was not interested in taking voice. So he didn't play for Ray. But it really is true. You want to, have as many abilities in your pocket as you're willing to get. So you can, even if you can carry a tune, if you can hear, especially, it's going to be difficult to start from complete tone deafness to get in a gig on the road. But if you can carry a tune, you can be amazed at how fast your voice can come up to speed if you get a little training. You also, if you get into production like many musicians do, eventually, now or eventually, you really need to know something about what your singer is going through. So if you can learn more about singers, then you're going to be able to communicate with them and help them more and make you look like a hero. So those are two reasons. Now, the last thing I'm going to touch on real quickly, are we good with time? Okay, you're right. Keeping your voice in top shape. Vocal training itself will help you discover your voice that you've never really figured out how much you have of. It can heal vocal damage or go along with a program to heal it. It can maximize your vocal ability, and it can protect your voice. So my technique is, I have a trademark technique that combines breath, open throat, and communication techniques that synergy creates a holistic voice that not only is powerful, but it's powerfully effective in actually communicating. You need to work out your voice regularly, not just with vocal warm-ups and vocal warm-downs, but also singing full voice. There's no substitute, and I know this for a fact, because I sing exercises all day long with my students. But when I'm gigging or something, I need to sing full voice, because it is a muscle. So you want to work it out and be smart about it. You also want to assess and correct your speaking voices. One of the most damaging things that you can do to your voice is to speak on it in such a way that it's constantly causing strain. And that, so if you find yourself talking, when you talk for a long time, getting vocally fatigued or strained, that's a wake-up call, because you don't have to. I teach ministers and public speakers and business people, and you can talk a long time if you know how to do it without, with the right breath control and everything, right posture, and not vocal fry. Get that out. Get the fry out. Okay, and the other... you want to know this. There is no substitute for the voice for these things, for sleep, hydration, and protein that comes from non-mucus-forming foods. Sleep, hydration, and protein. You can get by with not exercising or not, this, that, and the other, but you cannot get by with that. So, and you don't want to get by with not exercising and not, having rest and all the other things that go into a good physical health for very long, but you definitely can't get by without sleep, hydration, and non-mucus forming food. Okay, and that is about what I wanted to tell you today. I'm going to do the little shameless self-promotion thing real quick and show you what I do have
available.
This is my vocal training. This is the professional course that's 60 CDs, and it's called Power Path and Performance. This is a condensed version of that little one CD thing, costs a whole lot less. And then this is my new thing called, it's a DVD of several files. It's a multimedia file training system called Singing in the Studio. And I have been singing in the studio for, like I say, 43 years. And I know the tricks and things like that, the little tricks that you can use to fix all kinds of vocal problems in the studio. I know how to help you prepare before you go in. I know all kinds of stuff that goes, this is like a 130-page book, and then it's got a warm-up in it, a video and an audio vocal warm-up from my method, and it has 3 hours of interviews with other studio pros as well. So this is brand new. It's on the web now. And also, I've got something free for you. If you want to go to my website, judyrodman.com, and sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a 5-page free report on vocal health. It gives you a lot of tips about having a healthy voice and, you know, some remedies, like, for instance, a really good one is pineapple juice and water, believe it or not. It's one of the best quick fixes for your voice. It's hydrating. It's very soothing to the mucous membranes. And I've used it to save my butt in sessions many times. So there's one for you. But go to judyrodman.com and you'll see all the rest of the things that I do, and get my blog, which has all kinds of free vocal information coming regularly to you. And then the newsletter that comes out about once every other month, and you get that free report. So I hope you've enjoyed it and gotten some things that you didn't know. And I guess right now we're looking for questions.